Matthew chapter number 6, if you'll find your place there. I'm going to read several verses, and then we'll come back to the thoughts. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, and they may be seen, that they may be seen of men." My eyesight's getting bad again. I can't believe already it's getting bad. Maybe it has to do with the migraines. Maybe I'm about to kill over here. I don't know. I do have life insurance. Miss Adi will be cashing in. But verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Now, this is not saying that you can't pray unless you pray this way, okay? Some people call it the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. I've been to hospitals where the family asked me to quote this prayer, and they wanted to quote it, and I'm going to come back to this prayer in a couple of weeks, but it's not something you have to pray. But if you've ever heard the song sung, this prayer, I mean, that song's about 10 minutes, and it's a good Methodist song. "Our Father, which art in heaven," and it's, you're just like, whoa. Man, that's taken a while. So someone sang it in this church about 20 years ago, and just gave an invitation when he was done. "But after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's pretty plain and simple, isn't it? I mean, there's no beating. You don't even have to look that up in a commentary to figure out what God is saying there. "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Brother Joe, I hear a tunnel echo, something going on. You'll hear it too. I don't know if you turn it down. I don't know if the other buttons got messed with or what, but we'll get it figured out. All right, so I want to talk about unseen Christianity here for just a little while tonight. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us tonight to see this truth? I pray, God, that you would help us to examine our own life. And more specifically, just this week, has there been any unseen Christianity in our life? So as we saw the truth on Sunday, that there are things that the world should see, then tonight show us that maybe even the more important things are the things that no one sees except for you. So help us to evaluate these truths tonight, I pray, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On Sunday again, we talked about Christianity that can be seen. Let your light so shine before man. The unseen Christianity is really what produces the seen Christianity. If our light is going to shine the way that it should before man, we're going to have to stand the way we should before God and spend time with the Lord the way we should. Look at Luke chapter number 6 with me. If you would, take your Bible there. Luke chapter number 6. I said the unseen Christianity is really what produces the seen Christianity. Look at Luke 6 and verse number 43. The Bible says this, Luke 6:43, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns Men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Okay, so when we speak, that's our outward Christianity. The words we say will determine if someone says, you know, that's the right kind of Christian salt, or the words we say will determine if our light is shining like it should. But the words we say are the outward expression of what's going on the inside, our heart. Look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter number 23, and the Lord in Matthew 23, he's getting on to the Pharisees because they thought, well, as long as the outside looks okay, we're doing all right. But look at there, Matthew chapter number 23. I didn't mention a moment ago, I had it in my notes and didn't mention it, so we'll need to grab some folks out of the back there. But we have a bus church workers meeting after church tonight in my office. Should be a brief meeting, 10 minutes. Just we're trying to make sure everybody's on the same page. We did it with Sunday school teachers on Sunday. Want to do it with the bus church workers tonight. So please don't forget that before you leave. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 25, the Bible says this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Notice, "For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." Have you ever gotten a cup out of the dishwasher and you wanted to, and it looked clean on the outside, but you didn't just pour something in it because of that? You look on the inside first and make sure somebody turned that dishwasher on. My kids laugh at me because apparently I have some different ways. And one thing I know I do this, it doesn't matter if we're at a restaurant and you get a foam cup, or at the house, if I pull a cup out, I always blow in it. I don't know why I have that habit. It's like if there's anything living in there, I'm about to blow it out of that cup. And they laugh. But it's not good enough just to tell me the outside's clean. I don't want to drink out of a dirty cup. And God doesn't want to use a dirty vessel. All right, and so we can make the outside look like, boy, he's shining tonight. Man, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And boy, she's dressed up tonight. I mean, she is the salt of the earth. But what's on the inside is what really matters, because the Lord said there, "Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." Now, we certainly do a lot in our Christian life that can be seen. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should do some things that can be seen. Our appearance, right? Never judge a book by its cover. Well, you can in a way, because God said if you'll clean up the inside, the outside will be clean also. But then we also know there are some that can clean up the outside and have a bad attitude on the inside, or, you know, whatever. But our appearance is something that on the outside, it can be seen. So we can clean it up. We can make it look like whatever. God said this in 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Okay, so we do. God said we naturally look on the outward appearance. So tonight we could say, well, we look like a bunch of good Christians. Look at us. We combed our hair and we slicked up and we came to church, and you can go to Walmart tomorrow and you could see someone who looks like they stuck their face in a tackle box and they're just piercings all over, and you think, boy, man, what is wrong? Why would somebody want to do something like that? Or you see someone that their entire face is tattooed, and you think, why would you want to do that to your face? So you're judging a book by its cover. It's a natural thing. So we do a lot in our Christian life that can be seen, our appearance. And we ought to look different than the world, and we ought to act different than the world. We ought to have some modesty in our life. Here's something else in our Christian life that can be seen, and that is our church attendance, right? Because we can show up and everybody says, hey, there's so-and-so, or we can miss and everyone says, well, I wonder where brother so-and-so or miss so-and-so was. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. All right, so God wants us to assemble together, not so much the less, but so much the more. So my appearance can be seen by you. And so I'm going to make sure that every day I'm dressing appropriately and modestly and godly. My attendance can be seen by you. And so if I'm here, you'll think, hey, preacher's faithful. If I'm not here, you'll think, hey, wonder why preacher's unfaithful. What's going on in his life? Because that's what we could see. Our ministries can be seen by others also. So someone sees us busy and they see preacher, they say, preacher, can I talk to you? And usually it's something like this. Give me a minute. Let me finish this conversation and then I'll talk with you. And then I'm going to meet with them. And you say, boy, preacher's busy. Or you see a lady, one of the secretaries, and they're going from place to place. And you say, boy, they're busy. Or you see a bus worker and they're coming in and they're coming and going and getting right. And you say, boy, they're busy. And you see your Sunday school teacher, and they're doing the work. So our appearance can be seen. We can all dress a certain way, whether that's us on the inside or not. We sure can make it look like the salt of the earth, I mean the light of the world. Our attendance, just being here, someone's going to say, boy, that's a pretty good Christian right there, faithful to church on a Wednesday night. Our ministries, people see that and they say, boy, I tell you what, that's a good Christian right there. Boy, they serve the Lord and they have a lot of areas of ministry in their church. We should. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, going overboard in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the truth is, we are good at the stuff that can be seen. We're good at it. It's good at church. So there's an outfit for going to church. And we have ministries and we perform our job. We do our ministry and those things can be seen and we better be there tonight because they're going to know if we weren't there or the Sunday school teacher is going to know or whoever. So we're good at the stuff that's seen. But what really makes a Christian a good spiritual Christian is not what we see, because anyone can dress up. Anyone can show up. And by the way, it's unfortunate that we would think this way, but anyone can serve God on a Sunday. You could be drunk six days a week and no one know it, and you come in and teach your class or run a bus route. You could have cussed out the neighborhood all week long and nobody know about it. You come in on Sunday and act like sister spiritual or brother spiritual and we can, you know, we can fake people out. But what makes a good spiritual Christian is not what we see, it's what we don't see. Look at Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. In Luke chapter number 10, the Lord is sitting here in Mary and Martha's house. And you've seen this passage before, but I want to show you a couple different passages and how they relate to this message. Luke 10, at the end of the chapter, verse number 38, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. It came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Martha, you're all wound up. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. All right, so neither one of these ladies was doing wrong. Martha was very active. She was outgoing. She was a boisterous Christian. She was a get it done. Martha was one that if you wanted it done, if you want something done in a church, give it to the busiest of people. They're going to be the ones who get it done. Mary was the more reserved, quiet type. Well, what do we see Mary doing here? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Neither personality was bad. Both were different. But I want you to notice that when trying times came, Mary knew that the best thing for her to do is go fall on her face before God, while Martha got wound up and just did the first thing that came to mind. Right, so we could just be busy little bees, busy little workers, but we don't have anything spiritual going on in us. We don't have a walk with God. Oh, we're good about you show up to church and the calendar says this and the schedule says that and this is what we do by routine. But on the inside, just be kind of spiritually empty because we're not doing anything that has to do with the unseen Christian life. Look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11, all right, so Martha is the one, she's busy, she's serving, she's wound up, she's active. Mary is the one sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's not an excuse to be lazy, but it's certainly a lesson on we have to do both. We have to spend time with the Lord, and then we need to exercise our faith by serving God. Well, there came a time when their brother died, right? Lazarus. And notice what happened in John chapter 11 and verse number 20. Then Martha, here's the wound up one. Here's the one who we're just kind of making a judgment call, but you could say she hasn't really spent a lot of time with the Lord, personal time. She did a lot of serving, but so she didn't really have that walk with God that maybe that was going to carry her through the tough times. And so in John 11, 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. All right, so here's a lady who, she's active, she's busy, but maybe she's not walking with God. Maybe she's doing the seen things, not the unseen things. The heartache comes, the tough time comes, and she doesn't know how to handle it. She's just all wound up and perhaps putting her finger in the face of God. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now I want you to notice how Mary responds to it. In verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the master has come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. And now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep therein, to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, notice, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. There's a difference in saying that to God when you're face first on the ground, humbly saying, God, I know that you're creator God. I know that you're a sovereign God. I know that you can do what you want, but I know you could have saved my brother's life, compared to Martha who runs out there and just, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. I wonder if that goes back to both of them, maybe outwardly good Christians, and one of them did a lot of serving and would be the one that you would see leading everything, but then there's one who maybe she wasn't just the first in line for everything, but she did have a good walk with God. All right, now, it's not what we see that makes you a good Christian. It's what no one but God sees. When tough times came, Martha couldn't handle it the same way that Mary did, the one who had spent time with the Lord. Now, in our text, in Matthew chapter number 6, we see three areas that are part of our unseen Christianity. Now, again, there are many parts that are a seen Christianity, but here are some parts that are our unseen Christianity. If left undone, then our seen Christianity is going to suffer. If we'll practice these three areas of unseen Christianity, then our seen Christianity will be strengthened. All right, here are the three. Verse number 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. All right, number 1 is alms. Alms is the same as charity or a helping hand. The next is verse number 5, and when thou prayest. So that is our prayer life. And then verse 16. Moreover, when you fast. All right, so the three areas that no one's going to see but God are alms or charity or helping hand or being a blessing to others. And then our prayer life, how much time we actually spend in prayer. And then our fasting time, how often do we fast. Now, I'm going to talk about these a little bit, but in studying, what I've decided to do is go back, Lord willing, next Wednesday cover what the Bible has to say about alms or charity or helping, serving others. And the next Wednesday, what the Bible has to say about praying. And then the next Wednesday, what the Bible has to say about fasting. So we could be a little more extensive with those if we'll split them up on a Wednesday night. But I want you to notice in each of these passages, we're talking about an unseen Christianity. I want you to notice a few things, and then we'll talk about those three areas just quickly. Number one is this. It's not a matter of if, but when. All right, God doesn't say, if you choose to be a blessing to others. God doesn't say, if you pray at all during the week. God doesn't say, well, if you're one of those that likes to fast. Oh, I don't know of anyone that likes to fast, amen. Misworded that one. But if you fast, look at verse number 2, chapter 6, verse number 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, look at verse number 5. And when thou prayest, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, verse 7, but when ye pray, look at verse number 16, Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, moreover, when ye fast. All right, so in God's eyes, it's not a matter of if you do alms, if you give to someone else, if you help someone else. It's a matter of when you're going to do it. It's not a matter of if you have a prayer life. God said men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're commanded in the Bible to pray without ceasing. So it's not a matter of if, but when. He doesn't say, well, if you want to take it a step further and do some fasting from time to time. No, he says when you fast. And so it's not a matter of if, but when. Let me give you another thought here. We're talking about unseen Christianity. No one sees, no one knows. All right, number two is this. It's not for man's attention, but for God's. It's not for man's attention, it's for God to see. Look at verse number 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. And alms would be anything. You give to someone, you help somebody with something, you give them some money, you pay a bill, you know, whatever it may be. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, obviously, they're going to see, right? But you don't do it motivated by their recognition or someone else's recognition. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. All right, so it's not for man's attention, but for God. So you don't do something for someone and they go blast a trumpet and say, I just want everybody to know what I just did to be a blessing to someone else. Look at verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to get called upon in church to pray. That's what it says, basically. They love to pray standing in the synagogues. They love it when they get called on because they can pray for 5 minutes and let God and everybody else know how much Bible they can quote. God, thou who sayest, for God so loved the world. I'm pretty sure God knows his own word. He doesn't have to have it quoted back to him. And I'm not saying there are some preachers, Brother Sexton, that Sarah's pastor there in Tennessee, he's one of those that, man, when he talks, he's talking in the King James. And when he prays, he's in the King James. And he's like, God, thou who rulest, understand that's what I say is, you know, that's fine. That's not a show. But you've seen it. You've been around church as long. You've seen it where it's like, man, is this person ever going to shut up? Are they just, and I'm not talking about a prayer meeting. I'm not talking about a men's prayer meeting or a ladies' prayer time. Or a church gathering, but I'm talking about, you know, hey, Uncle So-and-so, pray over the meal. And you know who not to call on. You know who's going to pray, and it's going to be, Lord, thank you, and bless the meal. And you know it's going to be, God, thou who rulest over man, woman, beast, everything else, we are as the sand of the shore. It's like, dude, the corn's getting cold, man. Just pray. It's not time to show what kind of theologian you are, all right? So it's about motive, all right? But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, verse 6, and when thou hast shut thy door, Pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now again, back to verse number 5. These Pharisees wanted to pray and love to be called upon to pray in the synagogues or the corners of streets so that people can see them and hear them pray. And so certainly, you know, it's a blessing when the pastor calls on you to pray. It's like, hey, that's not bad motive to wonder and wonder if preacher's going to call on me. But you know the difference between those that just want to be seen. Hopefully we don't have that stuff around here. Verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. All right, it's not for man's attention, but for God's. Our alms, we don't do alms to so that we get, you know, man's attention. And we don't pray so that people say, "Ooh, boy, that person can pray." Now, all of us know who our prayer warriors are, right? You know people. You know, I hope, a handful of people that you know, if I ask him or I ask her, I know they're going to pray for that situation. So it's not for man's attention, but for God's. Look at verse number 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I don't know if you've ever seen this or not. Probably you haven't. Most of you probably haven't. I saw it back when I was in Bible college. I don't know why. I have an allergy. I've got something going on my nose right now. It's springtime. We were in Bible college. We had a lot of Bible college students back in the late 90s. And there was this one couple that, I mean, they were more spiritual than anyone else. I kind of mentioned them the other night. But anyways, this is fact. When they would fast, she would come in and make sure everybody in church knew they were fasting. And it wasn't that they wore a t-shirt. It wasn't that they told everybody, "Well, we're fasting." It was just the whole... And if you've ever done any fasting, 2 hours after you start the fast, you think you're dying. It's more mental than anything. You think you're dying. But God says you don't walk around letting people know you're fasting. Now, if you're fasting, sometimes your parents have to know. I remember years ago at Christian school, we had some young people that fasted. So Brother Greg was the drill sergeant, for lack of better terms. And I never forget, Brother Greg and I were in the Corps of Cadets together at A&M. And man, it's like military. You yell, and he was a drill sergeant. Makes sense, right? He was a drill sergeant. And so when he started working at our Christian school, it hadn't been too many years he had been saved. And Trent Orms was a young boy, I mean, maybe 5, 6, young. And I was in my office, which is where it is now. And from upstairs, I could hear, "Trent, run down, Trent, you will go to your mother," you know. And I remember sitting, Brother Greg, said, "Brother Greg, we're not in the Corps of Cadets anymore, man. You can't yell at the 5-year-old like that for not being squared away with their uniform when they come in too." He mentally hurt a lot of our people. You pray, "Hey, man, Taylor, am I right? Or am I right? Sage, am I right?" He used to tell him he'd put him in a body cast. Man, I tell you what, the potato heads today wouldn't be able to handle Brother Greg Moore. Would not be able to handle Brother Greg Moore. Putting his bare foot on their desk and things just to gross you out. Yeah. Oh, Brother Greg. Amen. Thinking about his foot now, I need my eyes washed out. We don't do what we do for man's attention. So the fasting there, when you fast, notice, and we're going to go back again in a couple weeks to this fasting thing, but when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, the sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Wouldn't that be the worst thing in the world to do? Now, if you're fasting for an extensive period of time, people are going to start noticing. Brother Doug Fish out in California, I know he's done some 40-day fasts. Brother Dennis Corll. Brother Dennis Corll is so big that when he does his fast, it's really, you can't tell. But he does every year in March. Right now, I asked him one time, I said, "Brother Corll," because this is like a 3-meat plate dude when you take him out to eat anywhere. And I asked him, I said, "How do you start your fast?" He does 30 days now because it was changing his body every time he did a 40-day and his wife made him stop or said, "Please stop." And so he does 30 days, but could you imagine 30 days? And so I said, "How do you get yourself into that? How do you go from like, I need meat?" I said, "Do you just start cutting?" He said, "Nope, I just wake up the next day, stop eating." I can't do it. Not like that. I have to, if I'm going to do fast for a few days, I have to cut out all the candies and stuff a few days. I have to go ahead and go through that headache, start cutting back on the coffee, go through the headaches and that sort of stuff. So you don't, that's sad that you would put yourself through all that. And that because you wanted everybody at church to know you were fasting, you didn't even get what you were asking for because you had your reward, which is man's attention. Look at me. Look how spiritual I am. That's horrible. Now, if you fast, your kids are going to know, your spouse is going to know, right? I'm not eating tonight, or I'm not eating supper all week, or I'm not eating for the next 5 days, or whatever it may be. But it's not for man's attention, but for God's. He says in verse 17, "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face." He said, just look normal. "That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret." All right, these three areas of unseen Christianity. It's not a matter of if, but when. God says, I want you to be a blessing to others. I want you to help others. I don't want you to just be a taker. I want you to learn to be a giver. He says, I want you to pray. I want you to talk to me. But I don't want you to just pray at church where everybody can hear you pray. I want you to really have a prayer life. And he says, I want you to do some fasting. I threw this in there also. Hypocrites don't last long. Those that have to get attention for everything they do, they don't last long. Because if you do things just to be seen of men, I promise you, God will make sure that in a praise report time, you think you're the only person that didn't get thanked for pulling that weed out of the garden at the church. If your motive is that, then you're not going to last long, because there's going to be a time someone doesn't recognize what you did. Those that only pray at church, if we're not spending time talking to the Lord like He's our best friend throughout the week, we're just not going to last long. But here's a good a positive point. Private Christianity produces public blessings. Private Christianity produces public blessings. Now, my public Christianity, you can see it. I put my suit on tonight. You can see it. I came to church tonight. You could see it. I'm doing what God has asked me to do tonight. And you could say, wow, look at all these good Christians around us. But it's the unseen Christianity that really, really makes the Christian. Private Christianity produces public blessings. Look what happens as a result of just these three areas. Doing these things privately. Look at verse number 3, chapter 6, verse 3. "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." Sometimes that's hard, because like your left hand's holding your wallet, your right hand's getting the $5 bill out. This is my parents, you would agree. This is like my number one image in front of my kids as teenagers. Amen. Could I get a witness? And it's constant. And man, I'm excited about this summer. Sarah's done with school. She's going to start paying for her own cell phone. She's going to start paying for her own auto insurance. Somebody say amen with me right there. And she wants to. She really does. She does. She hates to be a burden. Joshua, on the other hand, we're having conversations lately. Sarah's like, you know, Dad, I think I'm going to go to Crown, but I'm going to stay home a year. And that's what she did. Saved up her first semester. Worked great. 2 years at Crown, $30,000. We're down to $2,000. God, I'm saying to you, God provides. God provides. If you just do what God wants you to, that's why I can't stand it when parents stand in the way and say, you're not doing that, you won't make any money. She's not going to make a lot of money cutting hair. She's going to make no money cutting my hair. But if it was a dream, she's going to be an adult the rest of her life. If it was a dream, if she gets to learn how to do some hair, be at a Bible college, all those type of things, wonderful. That's great. Then there's Joshua. Joshua's like, Dad, I think I'm just going to chill here for a few years. He's like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, do monster fishing. And I said, well, Josh, where's the monsters? And anyhow, y'all know him. He is a clown, just like his Uncle Sean and his Uncle Shane. But we're not sure what Josh was going to do, but he may need a home in about another year when he graduates. So private Christianity produces public blessings. God has blessed my life. He's blessed my family, I know. Look at verse number 3. When thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. All right, look at verse number 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. In other words, have a prayer closet. Have a place you go, and it's not about being seen. When thou hast shut the door, thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You say, man, that family just seems to be so blessed. It might be because of their unseen Christianity. You say, well, it's just you go to church and you're just part of that group because you're here, you dress that way, you do this, you do that. Well, that's the outward stuff. And those are some things we ought to do for God. But I tell you what, if you want the public blessings in your life, it's going to be a matter of what you're doing privately. And God who sees you doing those alms, no one else saw you do that. No one else saw you picking up that trash out of that parking lot. We were at, I'm about done, but we were at, we went to go eat some pizza last night. Eventually that diet's going to start, but we were working at the church. They had to clean so Joshua could get out of town today. And so I said, let's go eat some pizza, Pizza Hut, the only good pizza there is. And I said, I'm going to run up to Walmart and go to that Jackson Hewitt and see about Joshua's taxes if he has to file taxes. He got a 1099. I said, I'm not real sure what to do with him, so I'm going to take him up there and just ask. And Miss Audie's like, can I go to Tractor Supply? Where's Trinity Parker? Old Trinity. She wanted to go. She had to get rabbit food and rabbit hay and rabbit stew. I don't know. But anyhow, so I dropped her off. Now I lost my train of thought because that noise in the, that's my deal there. Yeah, it wasn't about taxes. Taxes make you lose your train of thought. But anyways, all right, I don't know where I was going with that, so we'll just move on. Private Christianity produces public blessings. It was good, but I don't know what it was. God says in verse 17, but thou when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. Same thing. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I know where I was going with it now. Doing things to be seen. So usually when I'm at a store, I'll take the buggy all the way to the cart thingy. You know what I'm talking about? I'm one of those that'll park 30 rows out just because I don't want to mess with. I don't know why you guys, other than elderly, I get that, but I don't know why you guys will sit for 10 minutes and wait on the parking spot at the third slot when you could just park. All of us could use a little exercise. And then again, I'm not talking about those of you having trouble walking, but my trouble walking is my trouble eating. So, and normally I'll take it, but I was at Tractor Supply and I didn't see a thing. The thing, you know, but I did see a cart over there on those yellow stripes, you know where they put them? So I'm taking the other one. So a guy comes out, I'll get that. And I was like, oh, that's an employee. And so I went over there and I said, well, I was going to get this other one for you too. And I grabbed the second one. And he's like, man, you're nice. So I was just trying to be light and salt, even though maybe I wasn't exactly that one. I wasn't planning on that at the time. But do not your alms before men to be seen of men. All right. God will reward you openly. Three areas of unseen Christianity that really produce a good and faithful and long-lasting public Christian. We've got to have something going on besides just showing up to church. There's got to be something going on besides just playing dress up. There's got to be something going on besides just showing up and saying, I'm a teacher, I'm a bus worker, I'm a musician, I'm a preacher. There's got to be something. There's got to be some more depth in our Christian life. Alms, charity, just being a servant to others. A serious prayer life, constant communication with God. And then fasting. I had some more things to say about that. I'm not going to say it tonight. I'll just add it to those messages as we go into the next 3 weeks. We'll talk about charity, what all the Bible has to say about charity next week. Just let me repeat something I said earlier. Don't live life as a constant taker. Constant taker. Learn to be a giver. All right? We get to give. It just keeps on and keeps on. All right? Our motive is not, let's see what we can get back from someone else. Our motive is just God's been good to us. We want to be a blessing to someone else. And if God gives something in return, wonderful. I'm probably just going to give it away or be a blessing to someone else also. All right, so do you practice these three? These three unseen characteristics of Christianity. We're good at what people can see. Are we doing anything that can't be seen? So let's just look at Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. All right, just these 3 days since church on Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. All right, so hopefully during the week we were concerned about our modesty and things like that, but we got dressed for church tonight, and we all look really spiritual. And we came in tonight and we did whatever our responsibility was to do. So we looked spiritual there. And we're here tonight, so we're looking spiritual, because on a Wednesday night when we could have sat home, we decided to come to church, so we're looking spiritual. But did we do anything Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, or each of those days, did we do anything that God says, I saw that? Nobody else saw that, but I saw that. I saw you be that blessing. I saw you give that. I saw you help that person. I saw that, and God says, I'll reward you openly. How much prayer time have we had? How much communication have we had with the Lord in the last 3 days? And then fasting is certainly a special thing, not something you have to do every day, not something you have to do every week. We'll cover it in about 3 weeks from now. But what you do that can be seen is great, wonderful. But what can't be seen is what produces a stable Christian. And I would say that Mary Martha effect again, because Martha was like, yeah. And everybody could see that she was, man, she's one of those ladies at the church that just, you know, preacher goes to her because she's one that just gets things done, and she's one of those. Well, here's Mary over here. Maybe she's not the one that's like at the lead of everything and let's get this done. And Mary is not an excuse for us to be lazy and just feed ourselves and not serve others. We're supposed to do both. Supposed to be a balance, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But here's Mary over here. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then when her heartache comes, she knew exactly what to do. Just fall down at the feet of Jesus and let God answer your questions of your heart. Let God strengthen you. We need both seen Christianity and unseen. All right, let's pray together. Maybe tonight just ask the Lord to help you. We probably all need help in one of these areas. Help us with our unseen Christianity. That's just three things that are unseen. And we'll cover each topic in the next few weeks.